Welcome to the Newman Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
The presence of the Lord is here and He's so beautiful. I just felt God's love really envelop every single person, young and old, every boy and girl, man and woman, no matter what journey you're in your faith. I felt the love of God just envelop you today. And He wants to remind you that He sees you, that He knows you, and He has a plan and a future for you. He has a hope for you. Praise you. Praise you, O Lord. And right now, O Lord, we just give all the glory to you. We honor you in this place. Father, we do not look to the left or to the right. We don't even look to me. Lord, we look to you and only you. Jesus, thank you for who you are. Thank you that your Spirit is here. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, who is our helper. And if words fall in our prayers, you help us pray, Holy Spirit. And right in this moment, we just welcome you. Would you just have your way? Have your way. And I pray that the soil of our hearts will be ready to receive your word. And I pray that this will bear fruit, Lord, from this moment on and the next day and the weeks to come and the months to come. We will see this fruit because this is your word, O Lord. So we bless you and we honor you and we give glory to Jesus. Jesus, we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Why don't you high five the person next to you as you sit down? Welcome to church, everyone. It's so good to see you all. Such a blessing to be sharing this word. And thank you so much, Pastor Dave, for leading us so beautifully today with Laura and Kevin. Although it was just them, you know, I felt like God wanted to strip away all our expectations so that all is left is our hearts for Him. Are we led by our emotions or the band, or are we here to worship the one true God? Are we led by our spirit to give glory and minister to the Lord? We don't come to church to be entertained. We don't come to church just to, you know, just sit there and have a good day on a Sunday. We're here to minister to our God, who is alive today. And how do I know these things? What authority do I have to speak about these things? And I want to share to you that this authority comes from Jesus, and this conviction that I have is from the Holy Spirit. I want to talk to you guys today about the Holy Spirit, who is very dear to me. And I want to share with you quickly the first time I spoke in tongues. It was I think I was 15 or 16 and we were at a very small church. And, you know, being 15, a teenager, 16 years old, I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea. But at that moment, in that small church, I knew that I was a very naughty girl. My parents would know this. I've done so many terrible things. And I was like, but then during that worship time, I just felt the love of the Lord. That I was saying, God, how can you love me after everything that I've done? And I'm so clueless, but I thank you that you welcome me. And I thank you that you are willing to speak to me and just let me experience your love and your grace. And I didn't know what I was doing, but my eyes were just closed. I was just in a little corner. I was on my own. My hands were raised. And words were running out. I had nothing else to say. And then suddenly I felt this strong, the warmth in my heart. And in my spirit, I felt the Lord say, just move your tongue. And I didn't know anything about speaking in tongues. Weeks before that, we had life groups. And my youth leader at the time talked about, you can practice speaking in tongues at home. How do you practice speaking in tongues at home? What do you even say? What do you do? How do you even practice these things? I had no idea. I was a teenager. But church, let me encourage you. There is no junior Holy Spirit. Whether you're young or old, we encourage our kids to praise and dance. And, you know, if they have an experience with the Holy Spirit, we want them to share that so boldly. But in that moment, I may not know what I was doing, but in that moment, I was so sure that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me and moving in me. And so I did. I was just speaking in tongues. I was so sure that I was just glorifying God and I was ministering to my love, which is the Lord. And I was whispering. I was just whispering. No one laid their hands on me. And I just knew that it was the Lord speaking to me and touching me. And from that moment, I just kept, when I'm deep in worship, I will just speak in tongues when words fall short, you know, when your emotions are just, you know, just flat and you had nothing else to say, you just speak in tongues. And as I grew older, I learned things. And as I grew older, I learned about doctrines, and then I learned about denominations, and I learned about experiences and heard about people. And part of growing up church is asking questions. And questions are good. They make us learn. But the questions I had led to doubt. And unfortunately, it made me doubt my God encounters. Are they even real, or were they just my emotions? How do I know that this is from the Lord? How do I know that I'm just not making this up? Did I really hear from Him, or is it just me thinking things? But I heard the Lord clearly in my heart speak, say, this is your witness, this is your testimony. No one can take that away from you because this is what you've experienced in my presence. So church, if you experience God in a way that you cannot understand, whether you're here at church or at home, at your workplace, in a difficult situation, just know that it is from God. And He is moving and He's willing to speak to you if you just open your heart. You know, I believe in who Jesus is and all that He has done because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I can boldly and stand here before you today that although I have not seen Jesus, although I have not touched Him, although I have not smelled Him, although I am just reading about Him in the Word, I believe that He is real. I believe that He is alive today. I believe that He is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. I believe that He is alive and He is coming back again. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. He is our conviction. He is the witness, and He has given us that power to believe. He strengthens our faith. Jesus said in John 20, 29, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Church, we are witnesses to this truth, but we cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. And I want to read today from Acts, actually. But our main verse is Acts 1:8. And a little title to this message is, We Are Witnesses. But let's just quickly pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, You are here. Would You just speak to us? Reveal the truth about who You are through Your Word. And Holy Spirit, we just submit to You. Lead us and speak to us. When my words fall short, Holy Spirit, do and have Your way. Have Your way in this space. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Acts 1:8, it says here, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Church, we always read this chapter when it's Pentecost Sunday. And Pentecost Sunday was just a few weeks ago. But look at what happened on Pentecost Sunday. It's still overflowing to this day. And Pentecost is not limited to one day or one event. It's every day. It's an encounter with the Lord every day. The Holy Spirit is not a feeling. He doesn't give you a feeling. He transforms us. He changes us from glory to glory. You know, I always say, and I was speaking to someone this week about an interaction with the Holy Spirit. What we see here in our congregation is like the cherry on top on a cake, you know, the layers, the yummy layers, but the meat, the fillings are what happens Monday to Saturday. The transformation that you have when you pray to the Lord, when you read the word, that's where the real power is. I'm not saying the manifestations here are not real, but the meat and the things that really transform us are our one-on-ones with the Lord. So let's be excited for what the Holy Spirit can do, and let's not limit Him to what we see physically, but what He can do spiritually, emotionally, and even in our future and families. Now, when we read Acts 1, this was when, after His resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus, who believed that Jesus died and was raised from the grave. Amen. That's it. But Jesus came back and spent some time with His disciples, and He told them to stay in Jerusalem and just wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. He said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, Jesus ascended, and we say this at kids' church, Jesus went up and the Holy Spirit came down. Jesus came up and the Holy Spirit came down. Jesus went up to heaven to be with the Father, but He promised His disciples that He will never leave them alone as orphans. The Holy Spirit, the Helper, our Comforter is coming, and that's the Holy Spirit, and we'll be with them, we'll be in them, and we'll be working through them. And then we read in Acts 2 that on the day of Pentecost, as the disciples were together, they were praying, a mighty rushing wind came, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's when they started speaking in tongues. And then they started, and then they went out, and there were so many people, and the people, the congregation, actually thought they were drunk. But Peter boldly said, "We are not drunk. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy in Joel, in the book of Joel, that after Jesus has died and came back to life, He promised that all His Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, and today is that fulfillment. So come and repent." And church, it reads in Acts 2:38-40, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself." And let's just take a moment to really, really ponder upon this verse. This promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. What a beautiful promise. Just think of your families who don't know Jesus, your friends, your workmates, and anyone that you can think of. They have an opportunity to receive Jesus. They can be forgiven. And this is what Jesus did on the cross, to take up the sin. And there's no condemnation in Him. There is life and there is freedom. And this is for everyone whom the Lord, our God, calls to Himself. And who does He call? All of us, everyone in the world. This gospel is not just for us here or select few. It's for everyone in the world. So let's be excited. Let's continue to pray for our family and friends that they would come to Christ, because nothing is impossible with Him. Just think of that day when your family is here raising their hands, your friends just worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. What a blessed day that would be. Now, if we keep reading in Acts, this is when they grew in numbers. Signs and wonders are being done, healing of the sick and the demon-possessed and the oppressed. And in John 3, Peter and John performed a miracle where there was a lame beggar, and he was lame from birth, but he was healed. Now, it wasn't long until the religious leaders took wind of what's been happening. They arrested them. And they were interrogated. "On whose authority and whose name did you perform this miracle?" And Peter, good old Peter, boldly stood up in front of the religious leaders. He was not intimidated. Why? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was a witness. And he said, "I speak today in the name of Jesus, whom you crucified, but He did not stay dead. He resurrected and He is alive today. He died because He took care of our sin, and anyone who calls on His name will be saved." And the people, let me tell you, if you think that you have no authority, if you think that you're not qualified, wait till what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. Just wait. Because the religious leader said, this is an uneducated people, and look at the way that they're speaking. It's incredible. So church, don't doubt what God can do in you. You may feel like you're not able to speak, but wait. Just wait until the Lord moves in your life and speaks through you. Now, And they were interrogated, and the religious leader said, no, you have to stop. They were commanded to stop. But Peter said in verse 20, we just can't help but stop. We can't stop. We cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. And this is what it means to be a witness. You just can't help but speak about what you have seen and heard. I remember one time there was an accident near my workplace, and I literally saw everything that happened. And instantly I called Levi, my husband, and said, hey, guess what happened? I have to tell you what happened. Otherwise I'll forget. So I told him every detail. My team leader at the time went there because she knew CPR, so to help that person. So she was interrogated and helped because she was also a witness. And her testimony is very important. And they believed her because she was there. And just like the disciples, yes, Jesus, the people at the time saw Jesus died, but they witnessed him come back to life. Yeah. But what about us? We weren't there. We weren't there. We weren't alive. I don't think our parents even thought of us during that time. It wasn't our time yet. But our conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. What I say today is from the Holy Spirit. I can freely and boldly say this to you because I've experienced him. And, you know, if I believe that he has healed me in the past, he can heal today. And if he's heard my prayers in the past, he can hear your prayers today. If he has saved me, he will save today. If he has given me breakthrough, then he will give us breakthrough today in the days to come. And this is my testimony that no one can take away, and I will stand for it. Now, in chapter 5, the apostles again were imprisoned. But they were miraculously freed by God's hand. And they continued to preach. They were told to stop because the religious leaders were saying, you're making us look guilty, as if it was us who killed Jesus. Technically, yes. But what the disciples said, we must obey God. Jesus is alive today, and God exalted him, and he has the authority to forgive. And in verse 2, 32, Acts 5, 32, we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Now, according to Bible Project, a witness is basically someone who sees something important or amazing. In Hebrew, this person is an ed, and in Greek, a martyr. And if this person begins to share what they've seen, we call this bearing witness. We learn that God wants a group of witnesses, people who see and experience him to ed or represent him to the world. And the word martyr in Greek, it looks familiar because this is where the word martyr comes from. Because in chapter 5, we find the apostles were beaten and charged again not to speak in the name of Jesus. But they left that congregation, they left that council, not down and out, not defeated, but they were rejoicing. They were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for Jesus. The apostles were willing to suffer for what they have seen and experienced. And this is what it means to be a witness, church. Are we willing to suffer for the truth? Now, this is not an easy task. Following Jesus is a sacrifice. In Matthew 16, 24 and 25, Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." It is hard, church, especially in a time where evidence is so, we won't believe you until we see it. Yeah. To see is to believe. And it's so hard to listen to someone's story and say, "Are you sure that really happened?" And sometimes even in preachings, you hear a story, not you, Pastor Dave. You hear preachers say, "Did that really happen?" We were at Youth Alive a year ago, and the youth pastor was sharing a powerful message. And I literally heard one of the kids say, "Cap," which means fake in their lingo. You know, and it's just so hard to believe things. You don't just, and sometimes, you know, on the internet and social media, like, did this really happen? Like, I tell Levi all the time, don't believe in everything that you see on social media, okay? Fact check everything. Fact checking. These days, fact checking is so important. So what is the truth? And you know, during that time when I was when I had a moment where, "Lord, how do I worship you? Is this the right way? This move or this dance and things that I do, what is the right way?" The Lord leads me here. The truth is here, church. God's word is our foundation. And you know, this only comes alive with the power of the Holy Spirit. If you read it and memorize it, you must be very smart, because this language is really hard. But it will not transform you without the Holy Spirit, without His power. This is why Jesus said, "I will send you the Holy Spirit to be your helper, to be your comforter." You know, when you're going through things and you remember a Bible verse or a story in the Bible, that's from the Holy Spirit. When you've run out of words, but you don't know what to pray for someone, you get a picture or you speak of a word, and that comes from the Holy Spirit, and say, "How did you know that?" That's from the Holy Spirit. That is from the Holy Spirit. Now, how wonderful is this Holy Spirit? No matter how difficult our life is, our decision to follow Jesus, we are not alone. The Holy Spirit is our helper, just like the apostles. They had the boldness, they had the power, they had the confidence because of the Holy Spirit. And He has been with us from the beginning of our faith journey. In Ephesians 1:13, "In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, and as a result believed in Him, were stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, the one promised by Christ, as owned and protected by God." How incredible is it that even before you make a decision, it's like you're not alone. There's so many options that you can take. And Levi and I have, we go through options. And the first thing that we say is, "God, which option, which path do you want us to take? What is our decision?" Or maybe in your life, "Is this, Lord, is this the relationship that I need to pursue? Or Lord, is this the job for me? Is this the word in season? Is this the faith community that you want me to be a part of? Is this the mission trip that you want me to join? Or the ministry that I can be a part of?" You know, you have the Holy Spirit to help you. Why? Because He will reveal to you the Father's heart. He will reveal to you the plans of God. And we read in Romans 12 that His plans are good, they are pleasing, and they are perfect. So church, man and situations will fail us, but God never will. How wonderful is the Holy Spirit? But many of us maybe are still unsure. Maybe we don't know much about the Holy Spirit. I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit too. And I still have much to learn. But, you know, I also remember writing an assessment when I was in Bible college about the Holy Spirit. I got everything right, except I referred to the Holy Spirit as an it. So my lecturer said, "He's a person, okay? He's not a thing, He's a person." And maybe there are things that we don't understand about the Holy Spirit, or we stay away because of unpleasant experiences or unanswered prayers, doctrinal confusion or moral failure from people will look up to in the body of Christ. But church, these experiences do not diminish or in any way affect the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He is the Spirit of the living God, the third person of the Godhead, and a witness to the truth. Jesus said in John 16, 13 to 14, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth, full and complete truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative or authority, but He will speak whatever He hears from the Father, the message regarding the Son. He will disclose to you what is to come in the future. He will glorify Me and honor Me because He, the Holy Spirit, will take from what is Mine and will disclose it to you." Church, we are pneuma, and pneuma means the breath of God. And you know, we're not about us as a church. We're about glorifying Jesus. And that's what Jesus said. The Holy Spirit is not even about glorifying Himself. He's about glorifying our Father in heaven. And that's us. If our move in the Spirit becomes all about us, then we've lost the point. We've missed the point. When we become emotional and we just look at our own sin, we lost the point. Because God has forgiven us. He's taken everything over on that cross. He's taken everything so that you can have life and walk in freedom. If we start condemning people or start judging them and just being offended by how they move in the Spirit, then we've lost the point, because all glory belongs to God. All glory belongs to God. You know, the Holy Spirit is the one revealing who God is. When you study the Word, you get a revelation because of the Holy Spirit. And as I mentioned before, when you pray, the Holy Spirit leads you to pray. We become aware of heaven's intent when the Holy Spirit is welcome in a congregation, in a meeting. You know, this is an invitation to trust in Him. To trust in the move of His Spirit, because He's trustworthy. He's the one changing us. He convicts us to look within ourselves for any pride or self-righteous motive. And I'm always guilty of that, because, you know, there's so much pride in me. And then I hate being corrected. Levi will know. And, and let me be vulnerable to you. We actually just had a passionate conversation this morning. And you will not guess, it's about laundry. It happens. All married couples, it happens. Yeah. But you know, he's so good, because he's the first one to apologize. And that hit me in the heart. And I knew the Holy Spirit was saying, "Your turn, girl." I love you. Galatians. But that's it. Because we all need each other. And we have blind spots. And we don't know these things until, you know, we have this conviction from the Holy Spirit. And it's good to have people walking with you. If you have mentors, I've got Pastor Sonia and we've got Pastor Dave helping us. You know, it's good to walk with people. So if you have any questions, if you have any doubts, don't do it all alone. Let's journey together. Even if you're upset about something, if something didn't sit right with you, speak up and tell someone, and let's journey together. You know, let me tell you, because when the gift of the Holy Spirit came, when divided tongues came, this was not meant to divide the church, but to unite His people. That is the goal. The Holy Spirit's move, the healings and manifestations, they're not there to divide the people, but to unite us and bring glory to God, to be witnesses that if this could happen, it could happen to you. And that is the gift. The healings and just the breakthroughs, they're not just for you, but they are a revelation of who God is. So let me ask you, church, what is that revelation? What is that God encounter that you always look back to and say, "God, You are real. You were there when no one else was. When I was ready to give up, You were the one who held my hand. When I had nothing, You brought people in my life to provide because You spoke to them." This is your testimony. And church, everyone here has a testimony. And that testimony is a witness to the world. There are so many who are in need of the truth. There are so many versions of the truth, but we can only find the truth here. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father through me. So church, let's be a witness to this truth. And if I could invite Pastor David to come up. In Galatians 5:16-17, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. The Lord never intended for us to do life on our own. He gave us the Spirit, not just a backup plan, but as a walking friend. You walk with Him daily. Keep in step with Him. And I did this, I showed this to the kids where we tried to walk in step with each other. And trust me, it was hard because the kids were walking too fast. I had big steps. And that's just like us with the Holy Spirit. But that is the journey. We walk in step, and as you daily walk in step with Him, you become at pace with Him. You hear more of Him, and then you just yield to His move. If He takes you here, you just follow. If He takes you there, you just follow. And trust me, church, it's actually really easy. It becomes easy. At first, it's hard because we want to do something else. But once we yield to the will of the Father, it becomes easy. Now, church, on Pentecost, I want to share this testimony as well, because when we worship the Lord, when we come to Him, it can look differently. It can be quiet, it can be loud, it can be very expressive, or you can just be still. But it reminds me of what God said in Jeremiah 29:13. If you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with your whole heart. You know, on Pentecost Sunday, I was in Tasmania, beautiful Tasmania, with some girlfriends. And we went to my friend's church. And it was a very old building with old pews. And it was very cold, so they had the heater on and the carpet smelled. It was very off-putting. Now, the band, it was a small church, a country church. The band consists of just keys, a guitar and cajon. They actually had more than us today. And the singers were somewhat off key. And there were just 20 or 25 of us at most. And you can't expect much. It's not the things that we're used to. But you know, church, I was bawling my eyes out because I felt the presence of God strongly in that place. They were mostly elderly people, yet they were raising their hands, closing their eyes, and just worshiping the Lord. There was a lady who was singing with a very high-pitched voice, but she didn't care. She was just singing. And I had a lady in front of me. She's probably in her late 70s. And I had my grandma here. She's 84, and she's here today. And, you know, she was just in worship. And I was like, Lord, forgive me for my pride, for ever coming here with this prideful thinking or expectation that I am here to be ministered by you. I am here to minister to you. The Lord humbled me. And I was just in awe because I felt the love of God in that place. And the word of the Lord says, my eyes are on Tasmania. Church, let's pray for Tasmania, because God is going to move so powerfully in that place. Now, if I focus on the external imperfections around me, I would have missed the beautiful things that the Lord was doing in the lives of those people, and this powerful word that I got to share with Pastor Joel from in Hobart, Numa. I would have missed the beautiful worship that was being sung by the people with pure hearts. It is true, if we seek Him, we will find Him. If we seek Him with all our heart, Whether in a quiet space, a challenging situation, a confronting problem, at work, at home, at school, wherever we are, if we look beyond the imperfections around us, the imperfections of the people in front of us, and we see what God is doing in our midst over that person's lives and in our hearts, we will find Him there, we will find Him working, and His will is glorified more than ever. And we are witnesses to this truth. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. He makes us aware of what He's doing. Now, as we sing today, as we sing again, and if you just want to worship freely, and the purpose of this message is to, you know, just worship God freely and let this worship flow into your daily lifestyle. As you leave this place, we don't stop worshiping God. We continue to be a witness to the world out there at our workplace. There's so much brokenness at our workplaces. There's so much brokenness in our streets, even maybe in our own families. But when God reveals the truth to us, to heal us and redeem us and give us breakthrough, this is an encouragement and even a command from the Lord to say, hey, time for you to bear witness and tell this person that they are loved, that if I healed you, I can heal that person. If I have set you free, I can set that person free. If I have saved you from sin, then I will definitely save that person from sin. We are witnesses to this truth, and our conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. And church, let's just close our eyes. Maybe in this place we even doubt our identity in Him because we just keep failing. We keep mucking up. I muck up all the time, you know. I said, Lord, how can you still welcome me? But, you know, in Romans, it says that the Holy Spirit bears witness that we are children of God, that we belong to our Heavenly Father. And He is looking after us, and He will continue to guide us, and He will bring us and change us from glory to glory. As what Pastor Sonia read today in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And the Holy Spirit wants to reveal this truth to us. So as we worship, church, would you just let go of your fears? Give your doubts to Him and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening